There is a quiet fraud at the center of crypto derivatives markets. It is not committed by any single actor. It is structural, it is permitted, and it is so normalized that calling it a fraud at all will make some readers uncomfortable. The fraud is this: the price that governs trillions of dollars in liquidations, funding rates, and settlement is not derived from assets actually changing hands. It is derived from quotes, from order books, from numbers that exchanges report about themselves. In the most charitable reading, these are estimates. In the least charitable reading, they are whatever the reporting entity finds useful at the time. This is not a problem unique to crypto, but crypto made it worse in two ways. First, the same entities that run the derivatives markets also operate the spot markets those derivatives reference. The index and the instrument share an owner. Second, the absence of mandatory settlement infrastructure means that the loop between quote and delivery is never closed. A price can persist indefinitely without ever being tested against the one thing that would reveal its fiction, an actual trade. What follows is a proposal to close that loop, not by regulating intent, but by replacing the benchmark. The problem with prices, nobody had to pay. In traditional finance, reference prices for derivatives are constrained by arbitrage. If the futures price diverges meaningfully from the spot price, market participants buy the cheap leg and sell the expensive leg until the gap closes. This mechanism works because both legs are executable, because delivery is real. In an earlier piece in this series, I wrote about the secondary market effect, the structural lag between what an asset is worth in one market and what it is worth in another, and how arbitrage is the force that closes that gap. The implicit assumption in that framework is that arbitrage operates against a reliable reference, that someone, somewhere, is holding a price that reflects actual value. In crypto derivatives, that assumption breaks down entirely. In crypto derivatives, delivery is optional. Perpetual futures, which constitute the majority of crypto derivatives volume, have no expiry. There is no moment of reckoning where the contract must resolve against reality. The funding rate mechanism is meant to simulate this reckoning by periodically nudging the futures price toward the index. But the index itself is the thing in question. If settlement is optional, the quote is falsifiable, not in the scientific sense, in the fraudulent one. The standard crypto index price is typically a weighted average of spot prices across several major centralized exchanges. The logic is intuitive. Aggregate enough sources and anomalies cancel out. The problem is that aggregating sources only works if the sources are independent. They are not. The major centralized exchanges share liquidity providers, share market makers, share incentive structures, and in many cases share investors. When one moves, the others follow. Not because of independent price discovery, but because they are all drinking from the same well. What this means, in the language of that earlier piece, is that the secondary market effect has been inverted. The lag between price and reality is no longer being closed by arbitrage. It is being maintained by the entities that control the benchmark. The gap is not a temporary inefficiency waiting to be corrected. It is a structural feature that serves the people who built it. This is before we address the more direct problem, that centralized exchanges report their own prices and the consequences of those prices, mass liquidations, funding payments, settlement values, accrue directly to those same exchanges. The conflict is not theoretical. It is architectural. What real looks like, decentralized exchanges, DEXs, are not perfect. They have their own failure modes, oracle manipulation, thin liquidity, front-running in the mempool, smart contract risk. Any serious proposal must acknowledge this. But DEXs have one property that no centralized exchange can replicate. Every trade is a settled trade. When a swap executes on a DEX, assets move on-chain irreversibly at a price recorded in a public ledger. There is no ambiguity about whether the trade happened. There is no back-office reconciliation. There is no counterparty risk in the sense that matters here. The price was real because delivery was real. This is the property the benchmark must inherit. Not DEX architecture wholesale, but DEX settlement as the anchor. The question is how to build a reference price from this anchor that is robust enough to serve as an industry standard. The proposed mechanism, the core proposal, is straightforward. The reference price for any crypto derivative should be derived from on-chain execution data, filtered and smooth to resist manipulation, and published as an open standard that all participating exchanges and entities are required to use for marking, liquidation, and settlement. The mechanism has four components. Component 1. On-chain execution as the source. The raw input to the benchmark is trade execution data from DEX pools with sufficient liquidity depth, AMM pools, and order book DEXs operating on transparent, auditable blockchains. Raw spot prices are not used directly. They are too easily manipulated in a single block. Instead, a time-weighted average price, TWAP, is computed over a rolling window of 15 to 30 minutes depending on asset liquidity. A volume-weighted average price, VWAP, filter ensures that thin volume periods carry less weight than high volume periods, and pools below a minimum liquidity threshold are excluded entirely from the calculation. The result is a price that reflects what participants actually paid, averaged in a way that resists both flash loan attacks and coordinated short-term manipulation. Component 2. Liquidity filters and pool eligibility. Not every DEX pool is eligible. Inclusion criteria require a minimum total value locked, TVL, a minimum trailing 24-hour volume, and a demonstrated history of deep two-sided liquidity. The eligibility list would be maintained by an independent standards body, a consortium of exchanges, protocols, and institutional participants, with transparent governance and published methodology. Pools that meet the threshold are included. Pools that do not are excluded. The rules are public. The data is public. Anyone can verify the index at any time. Component 3. The published standard. The benchmark is published as an open API and an on-chain data feed, updated at regular intervals. All participating exchanges commit to using this feed as the reference for mark price calculations, liquidation triggers, funding rate computations, and expiry settlement for dated futures and options. Participation is voluntary in the first instance. But the goal is a standard so widely adopted that non-participation becomes a reputational liability. Institutional counterparties, prime brokers, and regulated entities operating in the space would require benchmark compliance as a condition of engagement. Component 4. Enforcement by architecture. The final enforcement mechanism is not legal but structural. On-chain derivatives protocols built on smart contracts can be designed to consume the benchmark feed directly, with no human intermediation. When the reference price is an on-chain data feed and the derivative itself is an on-chain contract, manipulation of the index requires manipulation of the underlying DEX liquidity. That manipulation is possible, but expensive manipulation is better than free manipulation. What dies when the benchmark is real? The most significant effect of this proposal is not technical. It is economic. Under the current system, paper liquidity, order book depth that exists as a quote but not as a commitment, has real power. It influences the index, it influences funding, it influences liquidation cascades. Entities that can place and cancel large orders at strategic moments, or that operate both the derivatives venue and the spot venue being indexed, have structural leverage over the price that governs everyone else's positions. When the benchmark is anchored to settled on-chain trades, that leverage vanishes. You cannot influence the benchmark by placing an order you never intend to fill. You cannot influence it by reporting a price from your own exchange to an index that references your own exchange. The only way to move the benchmark is to provide real liquidity where real assets move, to actually sell, to actually buy, to put capital at risk in the direction you want the price to go. This is not a small change. It is a reordering of who the market serves. Right now, the market rewards entities that can manufacture the appearance of liquidity. Under a settlement-anchored benchmark, the market rewards entities that provide it. Objections worth taking seriously. DEX liquidity is too thin to be a reliable benchmark. For most assets, this is currently true. The proposal accounts for this by requiring minimum liquidity thresholds for pool eligibility and by phasing adoption, starting with the highest liquidity pairs, BTC and ETH spot, where DEX depth is already substantial and growing. The benchmark expands as DEX liquidity expands. The direction of travel is clear. TWAP and VWAP can themselves be manipulated. True, but the attack cost scales with liquidity. Manipulating a TWAP over a 30-minute window in a deep pool requires sustained capital deployment at a loss. This is not impossible, but it is qualitatively different from the current situation, where index influence can be achieved through quote placement alone. Capital that never moves. Centralized exchanges will not adopt a standard that reduces their leverage. Some will not. The adoption path does not require universal participation from day one. It requires enough institutional adoption that benchmark-compliant venues attract capital that non-compliant venues cannot access. Regulatory tailwinds, particularly in the EU and increasingly in the US, are already moving toward transparency requirements that this standard would satisfy. On-chain data has its own reliability problems, block reorganizations, Oracle failures, and smart contract bugs are real risks. These are engineering problems with engineering solutions, multi-chain aggregation, outlier filtering, circuit breakers that pause the benchmark feed if anomalous conditions are detected. The standard should specify all of these. Imperfection in the alternative does not vindicate the status quo. The deeper argument: every market has a benchmark. The benchmark determines who wins and who loses when positions are marked, funded, or liquidated. The question is never whether there will be a benchmark. The question is who controls it and whether that control is visible. The current benchmark is controlled invisibly by the entities with the most to gain from its movement. That is not a conspiracy. It is an incentive structure that was never corrected because the people who could correct it were the people who benefited from it. A settlement-anchored index does not eliminate manipulation. Nothing does. But it raises the cost of manipulation from near zero. Place a large order, don't fill it, collect the funding, to something that requires genuine capital deployment. And it shifts the question of benchmark legitimacy from a matter of trust to a matter of verification. In a market that has repeatedly proven it cannot be trusted, verification is the only argument that holds. The goal is not to make crypto markets perfectly fair. The goal is to make the price mean something. Right now, for derivatives, it often does not. The benchmark must be anchored to the one thing that cannot be faked: assets that actually moved, at prices that somebody actually paid.